Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
G'day, Tommy. It's Ben Vanell here. Excited to be doing another episode of Filthy Casuals with you, where we talk video games, pop culture... video games culture, news, tech, and podcasting tips and tricks. And joining us on this week's episode, it's the third member of the show. Welcome.
That, if anyone's listening for the first time, they don't know that you're listing all that stuff to like deliberately make it sound like it won't be fun.
Look, it's not all untrue. In fact, you could say it's a very accurate description of the show.
No, I know, but you always want to avoid giving an accurate description of your product unless you want to seem like a... like, that's what Home Brand does or whatever. That's the Home Brand equivalent of a podcast where it'll describe itself that going like, this milk is pasteurized cow... well, it's called milk. I should have thought of a different thing. The actual product is called milk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, though. You know what I'm getting
Tommy, I think that... how many episodes have we done? 200 and something? 230 something?
Nearly 250, I think.
I don't think that Adam quite understands that when I'm talking, I know he's about to talk next. So it's not like I don't think he's going to have... the opposite opinion to whatever I'm saying.
Why would I think such a thing when regularly you speak about me in the as though I'm not here? Why would I ever come to that conclusion whilst you are currently talking as though you don't know that I'm in the virtual
It's
room?
Happened again. It's happened again. It's beautiful. I love the chemistry of this podcast.
We sure are three silly little boys. No one in their right mind would be able to dispute that. But we are, of course, going to be giving an hour-long masterclass into the sacred art of podcasting. So if this is your first time listening, if you're thinking about starting one up yourself, this is the place to be, folks. By the end of this hour, you will have worked it all out thanks to our insider information about how to be the world's greatest podcasters. Adam, anything to say about that?
I don't want to do it even pretending. The reason we're doing this... is because we've been talking about how many people have started new podcasts. And if you want to do it, more power to you. But it's like if all of a sudden everyone was just like, oh, I guess I'll be a baker. It's probably easy. I could probably just do it with a bit of flour. Yeah, if I just buy the right flour, and then I'm a baker.
Bakery forums started up and everyone was like, what kind of oven should I buy? Is there a budget oven for new bakers? What should the layout of the bakery be? What kind of wallpaper should I have? And no one's like actually taking any cooking classes or has thought to ask themselves, am I good at baking?
Do I even like bread?
I just want to be a baker.
You guys were talking last night in our group chat about the podcasting subreddit, and I hadn't looked at it, and then I found it. I actually found it today by accident because I got a new laptop, and the one of the programs that I use to edit now no longer exists. For like, they just stopped updating it. So I googled like what's a good alternative to this program, and the first result that came up was a thread on the podcasting subreddit. And then I sent you guys a picture that was just incredible, like the exact type of mic that Joe Rogan uses, with a framed LeBron James jersey hanging on the wall behind it, and then a bookshelf with a SpongeBob SquarePants Funko figure. I mean, honestly, it just made me want to never talk into a microphone professionally again for the rest of my life. Just an awful snapshot. Just looking at it and going, that's me. That's literally me. Like, there's no way of debating it.
I agree. It's disgusting what Ira Glass's bedroom looked like in that photo. I was appalled. The way to do it is to apply a compression, a multiband compressor to your file afterwards. The broadcast preset in Adobe Audition is a useful one.
Oh yeah, yeah. Bitch, I've been doing that.
There you go.
This afternoon and loving it.
Oh yeah, let's do it. Let's do an actual guide on how to podcast. Spend a fair bit of money on your mixer or your interface. We all bought Zoom recorders because mm-hmm. they actually work really well. They're super reliable. A cheap microphone.
Zoom is in a brand of.
Yeah,
it's called an H6, not this fucking thing.
The video chat service. Yeah, the talks, Zoom.
Yeah, yeah.
The portable recorder. I think all of our microphones would cost between $30 and $50 Australian, just a basic one, brand name usually, to ensure they're good quality. Headphones.
The one I've got, and I think the ones that Tommy has are called Shure, Shure. Mm-hmm. They're really good ones.
Yeah, mine's a PV. Mine is a PV100. I've had it for like 5 or 6 years, and it's been super reliable.
A PV for BB.
Honestly, yeah, that's why I bought it. Honestly, oh, and
getting
like,
to
you know,
getting to learn getting how to use PV Audition. 100 was my dream when I was a teenager. 100 <That's> times. I can't imagine that.
Yeah, learn how to use Audition or Audacity, is a free piece of software. That's honestly all you need to know tech-wise. And then the other side of it is be good at talking.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. that's really it.
Yeah, Knox, you and I do have the same brand, the Shure microphone, which some people, if you're a live music aficionado, you may recognize this brand of mic as being the choice of live music venues back when they used to exist. The sort of setup you would have seen on stage at the Tote, and I tell you what, it brings joy to my heart to podcast into the exact same equipment that Bat Piss would have been using in at the Curtain Band Room back in the day.
I poured a little bit of a half a can of beer over my microphone just before this.
Yeah, that's the difference
the
between me.
Feel.
That's the difference between me and you, Adam and Ben, is that you and I are real rock dogs. Yeah. We want to have the, you know, we live and breathe live music and rock and roll, and we want that to seep into every facet of our lives. Whereas Ben's a little more kind of, probably his choice is the more tech-savvy one, but it's just not the life you and I lead.
I believe mine is the microphone of choice for spoken word poetry, slam poetry specifically. So
it's the easiest microphone to cut off if you're at the tech desk. You can you can just turn it down to zero immediately. The most important thing is to have an idea of what you want to do and have years and years of experience in some sort of performance or public speaking role.
Yeah, yeah, whether you're a lecturer, teacher, a comedian or politician, someone who professionally talks in front of other people so that they know whether it's good or not. I would say, you know, close to a decade of experience is preferable, so...
Community radio is the thing I started doing, and it is a way better way to learn how to do this sort of stuff than to just start your own podcast and then get like 4 episodes in, realize it's bad, and then want to stop because you feel bad about it. Like, you're going to feel bad about whatever you make first because it's going to be shit, even if you're naturally good at it, which is very rare. You're going to make shit. And if it's not immediately that you'll make shit, it'll be like a little bit into it as you start to pick up more skill and fill in the gaps of things you didn't realize you were doing wrong. Then you'll realize you were shit at it. So don't put it out in public. Don't try to promote it. Don't try to make it like a big deal. Don't spend thousands and thousands of dollars on creating a podcast studio because you think that that will be the thing that pumps you up into the big time. Because nothing will at all for ages. There's no, and you don't want it to happen for ages because every motherfucker who gets big real quick, you know, look at Macaulay Culkin. Do you want to be the Macaulay Culkin of podcasting? No.
Yeah, we still don't have a podcast studio. We still just record from our kitchen tables.
Nah. And it's the least important part of it for sure.
Yes.
Podcasts have the smallest technical barrier between creating the thing and getting it in front of people. But don't focus on getting it in front of people for years and years.
Yes.
Yeah, I also think
one of
the most...
And don't do it at all. And we're cancelling our podcast. There's no need. All this stuff has made me realise how little entertainment we truly need to exist. And like, the arts should, you know, be promoted and should be fostered through government programs and through people taking a punt on new things because you might get lucky, but it is a gamble. Most of it's going to be shit. The majority of it will always be shit. The majority of people who do it will always be shit at it. And you've got to make that fucking breeding ground, that gross primordial soup happen so that the things that people end up enjoying come out of it. But like, don't worry about that element of it. Just try to be good at it for fun. And then you'll, if the other stuff is possible, it'll happen.
Well,
I can say from experience of having had it not happen.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. You work really hard for like 8-9 years and then it it doesn't lead anywhere except to a podcast like this, which is very fun and good.
I also think one of the most important elements when starting a podcast is to pick a theme and decide what you want the podcast to be about and then stick to it. Don't just decide rigidly week to week that you're going to spend 10 minutes just talking about something completely unrelated to what it says on the box of your show that you're going to be doing. That would be an insane decision.
Completely agreed. If the first portion of your show is always a tangential portion, keep it that way. I completely agree with you, Tommy.
Yeah, we have the Simpsons episode structure. We talked about the Simpsons on one of our Patreon episodes recently. We always start with an unrelated discussion that leads into somehow what the episode actually is about.
Yeah. So Homer built a podcast studio, and then through building that podcast studio, the guy that installed the sound baffling on the wall let him know that The Last of Us 2 now has a new updated release date, and he's very excited about that.
And this is a real like season 28. This is a late Simpsons episode.
Fuck The Last of Us 2. Well, I think what this sort of went back and forth a few times without actually getting specifically announced, but we suspected it might get pushed later than this. I think we all were kind of pleasantly surprised at this being when it's actually coming out.
So what's the current date? Remind me again.
The 19th of June is when The Last of Us 2 will be released.
Right.
Which is I think 3 weeks later than it was originally going to be.
Yeah, I don't get it. When their reason for pushing it back, they said at the time, was COVID-19 related. It meant that they weren't, because shops are closed mostly, they weren't going to be able to launch it in the way that they wanted to. It meant that everyone wasn't going to have the launch experience that they wanted people to have.
That's right.
And so given that that was the reason, it sounded to me at least, certainly like we'd be looking at November, given what their reasons were, it seemed reasonable to assume that they would be delaying it until things were kind of starting to get back to normal. So for it to be delayed into a time period that it seems at this stage things will be more or less the same as they are now and as they would have been when the game was meant to launch, I don't quite get it. I don't understand.
They must have just actually not known what it would mean for their production of the discs or for their distribution of it or whatever the issue was. They must have actually have had a big question mark and not been like, we know when it'll happen, but we're not going to let you know that it'll be November. It surely was a proper question mark, and they were able to get it sorted out pretty rapidly. I wonder if it is crazy. 3 weeks is such a small gap to make such a fuss. I don't want to say fuss because, you know, it's obviously because of a real reason, but
yeah, because like they said an indefinite delay, which like that is a huge announcement would have made everyone think this is an end of the year sort of situation, which changes pre-order situation. Like people might have been getting refunds and stuff like that, changing, you know, the way that they were approaching buying this game at all. Which
they gave everyone who had pre-ordered it on the PlayStation Store a refund.
Right, which is crazy.
Which is insane.
Yeah, because I think we were thinking like, oh, okay, shops are going to be closed, or at least you can't go into them, or you can only go into them, you know, one by one, and it's not going to be lines stretching down the street. They just won't allow that. But in terms of physical sales, Amazon is still functioning. Like, every online delivery service is working overtime, so discs are still going to be able to get to people. It's not just a digital release, which surely they had to have already thought about. Like, I don't know what's changed.
And even if it hadn't have been the case that people could get discs, a digital release wouldn't have mattered, probably. If it was going to be 3 weeks after the retail thing, it would have been a big move. It would have been a new thing for a game this large to release digitally first or something like that. But I think in the long run, they probably would have stood to make more money from it, at least in Australia, because the gap between how much a game costs new digitally and how much a game costs new physically is huge.
Yes.
In the physical version's favor, in terms of the physical one is cheaper. So I'd have bought it digitally if it was coming out earlier digitally.
Yeah, yeah, for the convenience, I would have paid $99 on day one to have it and to play it. Man, if they had not announced it was coming out 3 weeks later on physical release, I don't think I would have been bothered. I don't think I would have minded about the $20 difference personally. I know that that's not the same for everyone else, but yeah, I would have been fine with it.
I suspect that maybe it's something to do with potentially they were thinking, okay, we'll bring this out in, you know, things will kind of be starting to get back to normal end of the year, so we'll launch it then. Mm-hmm. You know, retail stores will be reopened. It'll all be a lot easier. And then maybe as a bit more time has gone on, that, you know, maybe they've started to look at it and think, you know what, that's kind of, maybe that's unlikely. You know, maybe they're just sort of seeing the writing on the wall, which does seem to be a thing that, you know, a lot of people have been talking about potentially, that, you know, you keep hearing that this thing could stretch on a lot longer than people think. So, you know, so maybe they sort of went, if we're waiting for the perfect moment to bring this out in you know, the closest approximation of, you know, how things used to be, we could be waiting a fucking long time. So, you know, why wait until November to have to just delay it again because everything's still the same? Let's just do it in the 3 weeks time. You know, maybe they just completely reconsidered, you know, this idealized view that they had, that they'd be able to do it exactly how they wanted to. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel kind of dumb for not having thought of that, to be honest. Like, I think that's got to be it, surely. They're not thinking, oh, everything's going to be back to normal in mid. Like, it must be that. It must be, we've just got to get this out. We can't let the financial quarter tick over into the next one and not have the earnings that we've promised. We have to just sell this game.
I'm sure that's a big part of it too. Because also, they're an American company where, you know, this thing is pretty fucking wild. So that's probably influencing a lot too. Like, where, you know, anyway, let's not go too deep into the realities of the long-term effects of this, but anyway, so there's another part to this story as well, where as this got announced, then a whole lot of details of the story have been leaked online by a disgruntled ex-Naughty Dog employee.
I believe so. I think the story is that this person was maybe a tester or like some sort of contractor who hadn't been paid, and that was their reason for putting out this pretty comprehensive leak that none of the three of us have seen, and we won't obviously spoil, that it goes over, you know, pretty detailed stuff about the story, and does seem to be a full on, if you read this, you know the full story of The Last of Us.
Yeah, fuck. Brutal. And this individual person seems to be, you know, angry about not getting their compensation for their work. But there was broader information coming out about overall bad working conditions, continued crunch. Like, I think that was also part of this story. Is that right?
Similar stuff to what we've heard about Naughty Dog in the past as well, that they are pretty pretty brutal with what they expect of the people working for them. So, you know, understandable that people would want that to change. Pretty weird way to go about it, in my opinion, to you know, try and fuck over the people. I mean, yes, it'll probably mean, and people are saying like, well, I'm cancelling my pre-order order, but whatever, people say anything about any situation.
But anyone who pre-orders a game and then cancels it is going to pre-order it again. That's just the kind of person they are. I'm not a pre-orderer.
The people that, you know, damages in terms of people will be upset if they see these leaks. I don't want to see them, but I also kind of do want to, because I want to pull the trigger myself, you know. I don't want to be looking over my shoulder and have the hitman do it. So
just wear a bulletproof vest.
I'll forget how to read or something like that will be able to help. I am avoiding, I've muted some words on Twitter and shit. I even thinking now, just expressing this out loud will mean that someone tries to get them to me somehow.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah. I was as soon as we started talking about it, I had that real paranoia.
Yeah, so Nox, you mentioned before that you think that that you'd muted the keywords and stuff. I think Ben, you may have said I have seen that kind of put around a lot. Like, be careful on Twitter. And it, I don't know, maybe I just don't follow that much stuff on Twitter related to games. But I haven't really felt like at any point that I'm at risk of stumbling across something that I don't want to see on the timeline.
Well, people are posting these spoilers in like the comments on unrelated posts on other PlayStation stuff or anything else as well. People are trying to get them out there. It was the same way back when whichever Harry Potter book it was where... A major character died. It feels silly to have to. It was 15 years ago, but
yeah,
people were like driving past random crowds of people and fucking yelling it out and whatever. So it's the same thing. And even if it does happen, whatever, stories aren't necessarily ruined just because you know what's going to happen in them. So it sucks, but it happens all the time. And it's just a shame that it's 6 weeks that we've got to try and dodge this sort of information for.
Yeah,
but it's good that it's not a full year and a half or whatever it seemed like it potentially was.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, big silver lining there that we'd kind of all I think we're starting to discuss the possibility of like no real big AAA stuff on the horizon to really look forward to for a little while now. Mm. So yeah, definitely very nice to have that back on the slate for the upcoming months.
That's 19th of June, and then Ghost of Tsushima got moved to 17th of July.
Yeah, right.
And then there's another game coming out from 29th of June or something like that. It was in June somewhere. It got pushed back a little. And they also, within the last few hours here, and I think by the time this goes up or not far after, there'll be like a full reveal of it, but they showed this Australian artist called Boss Logic making in Photoshop the like kind of key art for a new Assassin's Creed game. Called Valhalla, set in the Viking times. And it was really weird. They did this hours and hours long Photoshop stream of him making this art. And for whatever reason, I dipped in and out of it a little to just have a look at it. He copied a belt buckle and just moved it and rotated it and put it on the other side of the guy's armor. So the guy had two belt buckles. And I was like, it's easy to be an artist. Anyone can start a podcast. Something about that move, it felt like he was cheating and getting like being exposed for it. I was like, well, he has to draw a new belt buckle, surely. I'm like, of course a belt buckle.
Multiple belt
the
buckles.
Same.
Did he must have designed Kingdom Hearts and a lot of anime stuff. Just belt buckles all over the fucking shop.
Just copy paste. That's all they had to do. I mean, I could see why they got drunk with power in those games because it's as easy as Control C, Control V. That's all you have to fucking do. And I don't know, that was really weird to me for some reason. But
I've done that with stuff I've illustrated before and felt absolutely disgusting about it. Really, really felt like a fucking fraud that I couldn't be bothered to draw this same thing just twice.
I mean, it's always bothered me about musicians that they just get to play the same songs again and again. But that's always bothered me for some reason that people put up with that. And then in the film industry, if you had one shot of Harrison Ford going like, yes, and then you copy-pasted that to when he needs to say yes again later in the movie.
You just flip it horizontally.
Yeah, just give him like a little CGI mustache or something because it's been some time. And you'd be furious at that movie, but for whatever reason here, no one gives a shit about the belt buckle on a piece of art for Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
But to be fair, Nox, I've seen you do stand-up material about being single and depressed well into being in a relationship, so...
Yeah. I understand that I'm a hypocrite. It's the things that we see and dislike about ourselves that we hate the most in others.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
This is true. Are you guys interested in this game, though?
Sure. I am.
What did you think... Yeah, what did you think of the most recent two rebooted, refreshed Assassin's Creeds?
Who are you talking to?
Have you not played them, Tommy? I was giving you a chance to jump in here. Oh, okay.
No, I have. I've never played an Assassin's Creed, but I, you know,
oh,
I remember
still never any of them.
Yeah, yeah. I remember you guys and other people being positive about the last couple, and I like Viking stuff, so I'm into this.
Yeah, nice. I was okay with those other two. But
yeah, I remember liking them a lot more than the previous ones in the series. They're not games that have stayed with me, though, at all. No. And I don't think I finished them.
Like, same as most impressive of the other ones in the series, where they go on a bit much. They are a little padded, over-padded, a little bloated.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that the early ones are the ones that were like actually restricted to a smaller area, which meant the areas were much more detailed and the things that you had to do in them had purpose, like pretty much everything that you were doing. Even if it was just running around on rooftops, that was always really, really fun. I guess that's also something that these new ones aren't really focused on. The big cities, the vertical sort of exploration. It's mostly just riding horses around big fields and shit.
No, they're a lot closer to like The Witcher than they are to those original Assassin's Creed games. And whatever, they were both, you know, good. And I'm happy to see them have a crack at another one. I feel like there's been a lot of Nordic stuff come out in the last few years.
Yeah, because like, there's God of War, Hellblade.
Yeah,
I guess
there was something else that had a bunch of Nordic things in it lately. The fuck was that? Man, I don't remember. But whatever it was, that was the number three on the list.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah, that example of how many of them there are that you can definitely bring to mind.
Oh, there was something. What the fuck was it? I was playing something.
Donkey
I was
Kong
like, oh.
Tropical Freeze.
Nah. Oh,
the
God.
Movie Thor? Was
no.
it the movie Thor?
No, that doesn't have any of it in it. They're aliens. Oh, this is going to piss me off forever. I'm never going to get over this.
I kind of feel the same way. I also can't think of what it is.
There was something.
And there's no way of Googling it either. It's such an abstract thought.
I just typed in Nordic recent games.
Yeah, recent Nordic video games.
Fucking THQ Nordic. I forgot about those kids. They're really trying to spatter into this. Games with Norse.
Yeah, it really dominates the first page of the Google results, doesn't it?
It really, really clogs it up.
Not who is Nordic Games. What are Nordic Games?
Maybe I was thinking of Age of Mythology.
Yeah, guys, not just anyone can start a podcast. You've got to have some kind of skill at being able to talk and not be easily distracted and stick to the task at hand.
Skyrim.
Natural
fuck
chemistry
off
with
this
no
article.
Weird pauses. Maybe I'm thinking of Skyrim.
Anyway, whatever it is, Assassin's Creed Valhalla is a Viking based game. It'll same as Odyssey, I reckon, be the same sort of tone of mainly playing it historical or whatever. But then you get some weird fun things where there's the Nordic gods and things like that. So
yeah, right.
Yeah, cool. Whatever. I think this had been leaked ages ago. That this was not a surprise. But
right.
Not a terrible direction to take that new style of Assassin's Creed game. And hopefully they can, you know, make the best version of that type of game that they can.
I guess it's still the same issue or the same difference from the previous ones that I actually loved, like really loved, is there's not going to be a lot of buildings. There's going to be a lot of a lot of longboats, a lot of huts, a lot of trees, but like that sort of Renaissance era of the Assassin's Creed games were fantastic because you were climbing around rooftops. It's why Watch Dogs 2 was better than it had any right to be, because it was like really fun and fluid and exciting vertical traversal stuff, which was what the series was built on.
I think that for me, that stuff never had that much of an impact though, because what you were doing in real terms was just holding R and walking forward, and it was all visual flash really. There wasn't a huge amount of difference in walking on flat land in ancient Viking times or walking on a rooftop in Vienna. Like, what's the real difference there? It's the sound of a tile and the look on an Italian man's face when he looks up and he's like, whoa, are you up there? That's all you're getting different, so.
Yeah, but what you see is pretty important in a video game. It's also the feeling of running around on rooftops, of jumping off, like diving into hail bales. Like it was that feeling that that sort of stuff effectively, I think, you know, gave.
It just never really worked for me with those games where the feeling was always me going like, yeah, I guess I'm moving forward again, but this time there's an eagle going, crap! And I landed in a hay bale.
Yeah, the eagle gone cry is key.
I definitely preferred the type of game that these newer Assassin's Creeds were to any of the. I really liked 2, and then the rest of them after that just got a little repetitive for me and a little just, I don't know, dull. But then these ones, it's a interesting way of playing a game. I like the genre that it's in. But they also just have both been a little flat or uninspired or something.
It's not their expertise. Like,
yeah.
If CD Projekt Red had made those games, they would have been incredible games probably. And they are still very, very good. But you're right, I completely agree. There's something about the gameplay or something about the way it's portraying the world or the story that is not quite... there. It's an 8 out of 10 at best rather than a 10 out of 10 at best.
It feels like it's spread too thin or something like that. So maybe they pair it back and they deliver with this one. I hope so at least. Because the other option is to just play a whole bunch of remasters forever. But if you do that, hey, you can still at least spend $600 on a remaster of a not particularly well-received PS2 game.
Yeah, this was bizarre.
Destroy All Humans is getting a $600 Australian collector's edition that has a fucking backpack in the shape of the alien. It looks like the alien is hugging your back, and it's got a statue. And if you buy it, then you immediately have half of your possessions removed from you and redistributed throughout the rest of society. As it should be.
You're forced to keep that collector's edition as a reminder this happened.
It's branded on your arm that you bought it.
Yeah.
I don't understand who the base version of this remaster is for. Nobody liked Destroy All Humans back in the day. No one gave a shit about them when they were new. Yeah. And this is just an empty remaster of it, and for some reason people whatever.
It is very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another weird remake that's coming up soon that I think I'm actually going to go in on in the middle of June. They've done a remake of SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom from like 2002 or whatever, because it's really, really popular with the speedrunning community for whatever reason. So, yeah, intense fan pressure has led them to reheat that one. And I got to tell you, I'm going in and I'm looking forward to it. Running around as SpongeBob under the ocean. I can't wait, dude. I'm going to have a fucking ball.
SpongeBob SquarePants. Fuck SpongeBob. Because and I don't understand why there are so
many... Say that to the Funko Pop that's sitting behind me.
I am directly saying it to that Funko Pop and to every fucking million memes that have been made using SpongeBob shit for some reason. I hate seeing it pop up. I hate seeing his dumb little face. I hate his fucking pink friend. I hate every gray one of them. That gray one with the big nose. I hate the crab. Every single one of those cunts keeps popping up for some reason. It doesn't seem like people are trying to be ironic and going like, look, it's SpongeBob here. It just seems like this weird level of I haven't grown up that I fucking despise for some reason. And I don't want a remaster of it because that's the same thing. That's gray the same with feeling the big that nose makes people get those remasters. There's some big delay between me and Ben here because we have interrupted each other like 16 times during this.
Yeah, I think both about... Your connection is like on yellow. Your bars are yellow.
I've got fantastic internet though.
I know. And Tommy and I have been fine.
Your computer is tied to a can that has a string that heads down towards the exchange. I know for a fact your internet can't measure up to the size of my dick.
I know. I'm getting NBN soon. I've been waiting for it. It's supposed to come in May. That's tomorrow. I'm very excited. But for now, I am using a tin can situation.
Anyway, it's fine. Fuck remasters. Fuck these empty remasters at the very least. Fuck SpongeBob. Don't give them any money, Tommy. How dare you?
Just emulate well, can the original.
Can I just say, Adam, you're being a real Squidward at the moment.
He's probably the
best
one.
I agree with you on the meme thing, yeah. Though. I'm not into that. So, him just popping up in memes every 3 seconds is annoying. I'll concede that point.
Thank you.
But I like the show. I used to watch it. I used to watch it when I was like slightly too old to watch it, and I found it very, very funny. But I haven't watched it in years.
There's heaps of shit that I liked when I was a kid that I don't do it. Like, you can like stuff when you're a kid, that's fine. But if you're still sucking your mum's tits when you're fucking 28, then there's a problem. You've got to move on at some point. You have to change.
I mean, it's hard to disagree with that argument.
It really is.
It really is. I don't that think logic, I'm quite willing to go on the record.
But that logic could be applied to the entire pursuit of playing video games every week. So we've got to tread carefully here, boys.
Yeah. Nah, not the case. I don't want to go into why, but there's a good reason.
Well, there's a game that has been out for a little while on PC, PS4 and Xbox called Indivisible that launched on the Nintendo Switch this week. But what's interesting about it is that the developer had no idea that this was happening. It went live on the Switch eShop. The developer tweeted like, hey, maybe you were surprised to see this come out on the Switch without an announcement from us or like a launch video or anything like that. And we were surprised by this as well. So the port was being handled by someone else. And then they just put it live without these original developers knowing that that was going to be happening. They've also put a slightly older build of the game out on the Switch. So they've like since patched it a handful of times on PS4 and added New Game Plus and all this stuff. So the Switch version currently does not have that. So the original developers are a little bit miffed by that. And so between that and like kind of this, you know, Cooking Mama release from the other week that we were talking about, it feels like with COVID-19 coming in, developers everywhere are just going rogue and just chucking games out whenever they feel like it, whether or not they've got permission to or whether anyone knows that it's happening. It's the Wild West at the moment.
There must have been a few offices in all sorts of different fields, but with video games in particular, you can see the results of these. But I reckon there would have been some offices where people were going like, what are they going to do, fucking come around here? Put it out. Who cares?
I'm kind of distracted. I'm playing video. I'm hanging out with my family. Like I'm not. You know, I don't want to be working. So let's just tick it off. Hit send. Hit publish. And I'm gonna go make a pizza.
It is bizarre. I mean, it's probably one of those situations, and I haven't really looked into this. Maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, Tommy. Where the publisher owns the rights to this shit rather than the developer. So it's the same as like, you know, they put out, here's Prince's unreleased recordings. Well, yeah, Prince didn't want to fucking release him, did he? But he doesn't own him anymore, so, and never technically did. So I guess everyone's got free reign to peck at the corpse now.
I don't know what the exact case is, but yeah, it maybe is something like that. Or just bad communication where they, you know, they're meant to have let them know. Because it's not, I mean, this isn't an old re-release or remaster or whatever. It's been out on another console for like a year, and it just took them a little bit extra time to work on a Switch port. Like it is still kind of relatively within the same time frame. Strange story. Haven't played the game. Don't know if I'll go. It looks all right. I don't know. I haven't really heard much about it one way or the other.
It's like a kind of fighting game-ish RPG, or like it's a tactical RPG thing, kind of like with combat-y elements similar to a fighting game, I believe, but I also have not played it.
Yeah, it looks like it could be kind of an interesting blend.
Another game I haven't really played, and an artist I have no real opinion on, but I'll bring up anyway. I just watched the Travis Scott concert in Fortnite. It was fucking really good.
Really?
Yeah, it was really cool. It's just 10 minutes long. It's all like studio recordings of his songs. It's not a concert. It is just the tracks as you would listen to them on Spotify. Some different ones kind of mixed together to make this 10-minute long concert. But the main thing of which is that it kicked off in like the whatever match you were in at the time. It was like, all right, put your fucking guns down. Come watch Travis Scott. And there's like a little stage set up there. And everyone goes up to it. There's this big sort of Stargate looking thing with a portal behind it. And it sort of builds up for a few minutes. And then this kind of planet heads towards it and explodes through the stage and flings everyone back, way back into the world. And then there's a giant Travis Scott dancing around, walking around like fucking a million feet high. He was too big, if anything. A million feet is so big. That's 300,000 meters. It's too much. And he was terrifying. And I cried watching this video because of how afraid I was of this giant Travis Scott. But no, he's just dancing around and like they make just like an animated kind of music video where the sky changes color and all these big holograms are dancing around and you start moving around as he like rocks the earth. And it was fucking cool. You went underwater at one point.
Oh,
I liked it.
Yeah, I like Travis Scott, and I did see that announced and thought it kind of made me wish I played Fortnite, because it did seem like, yeah, if you're into it, it's like that's such a cool idea, having this cool little concert happen. And I like that they did it like four times over the week. They kind of tried to do it, stagger it so that each kind of time zone could get it at a time that was convenient for them. So you know, it's like not having to be on at 4 a.m. or whatever. But yeah, super cool idea.
They've done it before. They did one with Pitbull, I think, but I hadn't really paid attention. But yeah, he came out of the gates with Sicko Mode. It was a little bit weird that I really did think it was like a performance. I thought they had a live stream of this person, whoever's doing the performance that time, you know, actually doing something. But it isn't. It's just, it's MP3s of their songs playing. So whatever.
Right.
Fine. I guess you can't get, you know, you can't expect Travis Scott to get up at 4 a.m. US time so that the fucking Brits can have a watch of him.
But yeah, someone posted in our Patreon Facebook group about a guy who's doing a talk show in Animal Crossing. So he's built like in the basement of his house in Animal Crossing, he's built a little TV studio, and I watched a little bit of it, and it's you go, how will this work? And well, the way that it works is he's done it. So he's playing the game and he's got a guest around who's sitting on the couch in this studio, but then he's also voice chatting with them as he's as their screen recording of what's going. So it's kind of like it's just kind of like a podcast with a semi-interesting visual chucked over it.
That
like
is all it not, is. It was Gary Witter who did it, who wrote Rogue One.
All right.
And used to be a video games journalist before that.
I guess the appeal of the Travis Scott thing isn't that you're listening to him live. It's that you're listening to him with a bunch of other people. Like a lot of the fun stuff that's happening throughout the COVID sort of situation is people using technology to like hang out, to have trivia nights, to watch movies together. Yeah. I think that's the appeal of it, or at least that sounds like the appeal of it to me. And it does sound like it was a very cool presentation as well.
Yeah, it was really well done. It was very high quality, I guess, is my full review of it, is that the quality, in my opinion, was high. But no, that thing of all being in the same thing together, like my mum never used to really like Netflix, never would really watch anything, because she would say, she knows other people are watching. If she's watching it on TV, then she knows other people are watching at the same time, and it feels like she's doing things with other people. But it's gotten more into Netflix now because people around her have started doing it. Now you can still kind of watch it with other people. So,
yeah.
Cool. Not my cup of tea to be forced to go somewhere at a certain time. You have to drag me to do these things. But, I, you know... Good for the people who enjoy it, and it looked really cool.
Yeah.
Is your mum getting into the Michael Jordan doco? Just walking down the street, giving people facts about Dennis Rodman?
I wish. That'd be great. Do you know what? I had a moment where I was just kind of watching the rain out of my window the other day, and I can see into other people's apartments from where I am. And
oh boy.
I saw someone's TV in another apartment, and I saw him or her flick through some different options, close a couple of apps, go back in, and land on jumping into the Michael Jordan documentary. And I felt so much like, oh, fuck yes, you're in for a good time, mate. Well done.
Yeah.
Good pick.
Yeah, yes. Great.
Seeing someone getting in on the ground floor of that was a really special moment for me. Then I watched
it. But that is, I mean, that's such a big, like Netflix and like documentary event. This like, you know, very incredibly well produced documentary about like one of the greatest sportsmen of all time. It's funny to kind of land on watching it after a bit of back and forth. Do you know what I mean? To not just be like, boom, yeah, the MJ doco. I'm chucking it on. To kind of be like scrolling around, like, yeah, I guess I'll give this a go. That's, like, it's the new Adam Sandler movie on there, no, or something.
Who's this Jordan guy?
That's exactly what I did.
Him, but they make him sound pretty interesting.
The order and the how I landed on doing it, because I did exactly that. And I was like, oh,
really?
Man, I'm hearing people talk about MJ. Maybe I'll watch Space Jam. Oh, I can't find it. Oh, there's Looney Tunes Back in Action with Brendan Fraser. Oh, this movie isn't very good. Yeah. I didn't watch it when I was a kid, so I'm not enjoying it. I guess I'll go back out. There's The Mummy with Brendan Fraser. I watched the entirety of that. I finished that.
Yeah, I watched that last night.
Then I'm not still not satisfied with the Space Jam thing. Watch the MJ doco. It's fucking great. If you haven't watched it, give it a watch. Can I give another recommendation of things for people to do?
Yeah,
I've been
playing
Gears Tactics.
Yes, fresh out on Game Pass.
Yeah. It's only on PC at the moment, but it is on Steam and other stuff if you don't have Game Pass or want it. There's an Xbox version coming down the track, but I've been playing the version on the PC on Game Pass, and it's really fun. I'm enjoying it. It is straight up and down. If you played those new XCOM games, it is one of those just shamelessly lifted, absolutely ripped straight off of them, but whatever, that's allowed in video games for whatever reason. It's called a genre, not a bit of plagiarism. It kind of walks a bit of a middle ground line between the complexity and the difficulty of something like XCOM and then the other side of the coin, which was like Mario and Rabbids. It's reminding me a lot of that, the same genre. But you're doing exactly what you would imagine you're doing in those games. If you haven't played one, that means you've got a squad of people. They each have different abilities. You move them around a map in a turn-based fashion to try and beat another group, which is all your enemies. It's pretty simple. It's pretty easy to get the hang of, but then it's very complex in how much it's the tactical scope that you have. Not attached to your gun. I mean, the scope of the tactics you can use.
Oh my God. We
have a good time on this podcast. If you get a Rode Procaster.
Don't forget the baffling.
You got to strap up
any
some
piece
baffling.
Of tech that has the word podcasting or casting in the title. That is a key. Nothing that's marketed to podcasters. Do not buy.
That is actually a good point. You should buy things that are marketed to professional podcasters. That's what you need to get. Yes. If it doesn't have the word professional in there, you're never going to make it big.
Dress for the job you want.
Yeah, always wear a suit when you podcast. That is rule number one.
Yes.
You better. It's best if you're feeling uncomfortable and ill at ease. That's the kind of mentality you want to be going into doing a podcast. Anyway. Yeah, there's a good number of different abilities and different types of units and options that you have. I have been feeling like I am doing something that I have creatively come up with and then I feel is clever to win, which is the feeling you want these things to give you. I'm probably not. I am doing exactly what I should be doing and what the game has pushed me to doing, but I feel like it's got that good sort of tactical feeling of playing chess where you have set up something, you've drawn them into a trap that you created, and then you're pulling it off because you enjoyed it so much. And I am really enjoying it. It looks nice. It's got the dumbass Gears trappings to it. The visuals, the art design fits and the sound is good. The story and the acting are fucking terrible, but like in the sort of way where you're like, oh, go on then. Okay, yeah, all right. Of course he's that big. Of course he's fucking huge. Yeah, I don't need to see his neck. I believe you. Good.
Surely all of the units in Gears of War Tactics are big units, Nox.
They're
all
fucking units. You got a squad of absolute fucking units.
Absolute fucking units.
When you were starting a game, most games would say, select, choose your units. Please select your units. And Gears just says, pick your absolute units. That would actually be fucking sick if you had like a British mob
that
game
would be sick.
That called them fucking units.
It's not even a direction. It just says up the top of the screen, size of these fucking things.
Yes.
Like, what am I meant to be doing at this point of the game? I don't understand. Yeah.
Does that mean he's
just
a healer? What class is that?
Just
I am liking it. It's if you're not into that type of game, it's no different to any of the others. So, you know, steer clear, I guess. But if you do have Game Pass, it's free to give it a go. So why not? And it's not too complicated, not too difficult, not too easy either. Just a real nice little sweet spot, traditional, old school feeling kind of PC game. I'm liking it.
It
sounds kind of like a good entree to this genre. Because there are people, I think Mario plus Rabbids was as well, but there's obviously a lot of people who don't have Nintendo Switches. It sounds like this could be, and yeah, if you have the Game Pass, this is a great way to find out. Maybe you might like this kind of game.
If you like shooters and you played a lot of Gears and you've not really dabbled into this, exactly. Perfect little turning point for you to give it a go, because it has all of, I really like the way that they've translated all of like the things that are from Gears of War as well, like just the different guns that are in that and like the ability to chainsaw cunts and that sort of thing. That is how it was written in the game as well. It was called Chainsaw This Cunt. Mm-hmm. That was the tutorial prompt. And
yes,
the enemies and all the Gears stuff, in the way of like when they do like an adapted board game of a movie or a book or something like that, and you go, oh, that's clever how they changed this thing from the thing I like into being a mechanic now. They did that in a clever way or a cute way. This has that the whole way through it. So, I'm not finished it yet, but I'm enjoying it.
Cool. Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it coming out on Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely going to give it a pop. I've been playing a couple of games. The first one is, I think I mentioned these at the end of last week's episode, Cloudpunk. I've been playing. It was just released on Steam. I think it was in early access for a little while. And maybe it should have stayed in early access for a little longer, because it's not quite fully cooked, I don't think. They did release a patch, but when I was playing it, it was very, very stuttery. I think they might have had issues with view distance, you know, settings and stuff like that. But for a low graphical fidelity game, it was running like shit.
Wow.
Also, one of the other things that I did note in their patch notes, and I haven't been able to play it yet, I was going to play it again today, and the first thing I saw was like, oh, we've got an update you have to download. But there's some really weird stuff going on with the dialogue. So this game is basically, imagine sort of like, you know, the Futurama, I think it's New York City, where there's like an upper, you know, up in the clouds is all the skyscrapers and stuff, and there is like a lower versions of the city. It's very, very vertical. Same as sort of like the Fifth Element, if you've seen that movie. Sort of a lot of up and down sort of driving around. Future cyberpunk sort of city. You're a delivery driver with like a sort of semi-interesting mysterious past. You sort of moved from the country and you need money quick and I don't know. You're like,
that's so interesting. Whenever I meet a dude and he's like, yeah, I'm from Bendigo.
Yeah, so you play an open micer who's moved to the city. It's sort of implied that there are unexplained or there are extra layers to your character. You're sort of a bit of a blank slate at the start, and there's sort of implications of like what's your past, what's going on. And it's basically, from what I've played, like your sort of GTA taxi missions career stuff of like, yeah, deliver this package, or maybe this package actually is a bomb. But it's all set in this sort of very atmospheric cyberpunk nighttime sort of atmosphere and situation. I'm not a huge fan of the choice of the graphic style. It's very blocky. It's sort of Minecrafty. It's a lot of those free-to-play games have this sort of very polygonal but sort of smooth, sort of cubey style, which I'm not a fan of at all. But the use of sort of lighting and stuff is great. All the neon signs is very, yeah, visually kind of cool. But the dialogue is, and I think they've explained this in the patch notes, it was set up to unfold. It has voice acting and it has, you know, subtitles and captions. But they put in really big pauses between the lines because they've translated all of it into a bunch of different languages.
Oh.
And in the translation, they've allowed time for people to figure it, to read it, to come to grips with the translation. They're assuming that people are having to read through the captions. But it means there is a weirdly timed pause between every sentence. And it made the game feel probably lower budget or less polished than it actually might be, just due to this weird programming thing.
Sort of like,
I think they fixed that.
It's similar to listening to a podcast that was recorded over Zoom, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I know that there are podcast apps that take out silences. So for anyone who does have one of those, you know, Ben did a little bit of a comedic pause. Not sure if his comedic timing was perfect with it or not. We can debate that later. But you know, the history books will sort that out for us. While we're talking about that, actually, I want to point out, I know Bendigo isn't a country town. It's a metropolitan, whatever. I picked the wrong town. All right. If you're from Bendigo, hey.
It's a city.
Yeah, it's basically it's a city. I couldn't think of a country place and I couldn't. It doesn't matter. Move on.
Shepparton.
Where's that? No one's going to know it. Town. Pick a metropolitan place.
Oh, Ballarat. So yeah, anyway, the my first hour of playing this game was sort of a bit like, this looked like I would be into it from the trailer, but in execution there are maybe a few too many things lacking for me to fully enjoy it. Because I think at its best, at its smoothest and most polished, it's still a kind of like meandery chill out game. You know, it's definitely something to put a podcast on and just sort of relax to. That you don't drive fast, there's not a lot of urgency to it. It's pretty much just sort of like, oh, isn't this cool that they made quite a big and detailed and living and breathing city. I don't know if it's for me. I'll give it another try, but I don't know if I could fully recommend it. What I can fully recommend is a really fun game that I've been playing called Help Will Come Tomorrow. So this is an indie game. It's made by, and I got to the credits, you know, like nine people. This is basically a game where you're on a train, sort of, you know, 2D cartoony sort of style. Train crashes in the Siberian wilderness. It's roguelike in the sense that you have like four people randomly generated and assigned to your sort of situation each time you play through it. Each of the people is sort of different. They have different personality quirks and alliances. Some of them are very socialist, some are capitalist, some are soldiers, some aren't. You got to balance these personalities with resource collecting, upgrading parts of this camp, and keeping these people alive through winter and attack.
The so two basically, seasons.
Yes. First comes winter and then comes the attack. But the situation is your train was like ambushed by these like, you know, thugs out in the forest. So basically the way you play this game is you have a screen, one screen, camp screen. You got your little people around a campfire. And then there's sort of these stations around the camp of like your little workshop, a little shelter, a little medical bit, some barriers to help hide you from people coming. And you can upgrade each of those ones. And they each time you upgrade it, you get more actions. You can like heal wounds or care for people. Or in the workshop, you can create tools. The shelter, you can have more beds to keep people warm at night. Each of these things you upgrade with like bits of fabric and sticks and rocks and shit that you find when you go on little expeditions. And it's also about balancing these people's sort of like action points. So they can like use an action point on upgrading one of the stations. They can use an action point on going an expedition. And it's sort of this loop of like the day, you've got this many action points, you've got this much shit to work with, you exhaust it all, you go to the night, and you see what happens the next day. Maybe the next day there's a snowstorm. Maybe you've been found. Maybe there's another person has like joined the camp. But it's great. It's really fun. It's like a really good way to sort of mindlessly, you know, kill a few hours. Like I've been playing a lot of this game. I've probably like 4 or 5 or 6 hours into it. And it's sort of this loop. It's a little depressing, perhaps, given the situation we're in. But it's also like really, really fun and addictive. It's all about judging what you should be spending these people's action points and time on. There's like dialogue options over the night, so you have to make sure they get along with each other. You're not choosing sort of conversations that might create friction between people. It's fun. It's really cool. It was like $25 or something on Steam. I'm really enjoying it. And it's cool. Like this sort of roguelike situation sort of game. But yeah, I'm into it. Help will come tomorrow.
I like the idea that at night you can like... being in a survival situation like that, working all day to upgrade your shelter, and then at night sitting down and pissing everyone off and going like, so who do we reckon was being a bitch today?
That's like, it's because it's so you can like build character bonds by having them work on something together, but you can also destroy those bonds by bringing up the wrong topic around the campfire. Like it is genuinely that, like, no, it's don't go on about the war, mate. We're all sick of you talking about the war. And you get to choose sort of some dialogue options within the conversation topics. But yeah, sometimes it's just like, man, you shouldn't have brought that up.
Now, there's no way I'm going on an expedition with him. He keeps calling him Drumpf. It's not Drumpf.
But yeah, like it's pretty brutal as well. Sometimes it'll just be like, yeah, the renegades found you and now game over. So it's not sort of like this really long, it's not like Civilization or something like that where you're like, yeah, cool, I'm playing this game for 20 hours and at the end I've won. It's sort of like, all right, sometimes, you know, you get bad luck. But I am finding the more I play it, the more I'm like, oh, I should have been building up the shelter so they don't freeze to death overnight earlier, you know, just stuff like that.
I mean, but who could have known? Right.
I know. But like also it's like, oh, you can use the fabric that you find not just to create bandages, but you can use it to create warm clothes. Just stuff like that, which you sort of figure out as you make mistakes. But I've been really enjoying it. I highly recommend it if it sounds like something you'd enjoy. It's very well presented. I don't even know how I heard about it. I think I just saw it on the Steam store. I was like, oh, this could be for me. But yeah, it's cool.
Cool. Sounds cool.
Yeah.
I haven't got much new to report. I'm still playing Final Fantasy VII Remake. I just cleared the train graveyard last night, so I feel like I'm into the back third, I guess, of it.
Maybe you're a little over halfway.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, that. A little over halfway. Yeah.
Still loving it. Just doing a lot of sinking into that at night and kind of finding it hard to get the enthusiasm to put time into anything else at the moment. Just really loving it, really just enjoying treating it like a bit of a good book at the end of a long day. I did the other day fire up the Xbox controller and link it up with the laptop and played a bit of Sayonara Wild Hearts for the first time on Apple Arcade. Very very divisive game when we talked about it on the show the first time. But I can definitely see the critique of how simple it is and everything. But yeah, for something to just kind of chuck on and mindlessly kill a bit of time with some very nice aesthetic stuff going on. I really enjoyed it. I didn't finish it, but the chunk of it that I played, I was like, yeah, this is fun. This is a bit of mindless fun.
I know it's a joke that we make about you that you don't finish games, but not finishing an album is really funny.
Yeah.
I started listening to the new Strokes album. I got 3 songs in. Really looking forward to checking back in with it at some point.
Yeah. I just got past their song Train Graveyard, which I think there's 5 more tracks out of 10 to go, but I think I'm about 2/3 of the way through.
I've been finishing a lot. I finished 2 Resident Evil games in the space of a week. That's big business, you know.
That is.
Sure, one of them only went for about 4 hours, but, you know, still. I saw the credits and that's all that matters.
Yeah. You could play some solitaire. Those only go usually for about 40 minutes or so.
You
could clock a few of those. What do you think of the music in Sayonara Wild Hearts? Because I feel like if you like the music, you like the game. And if you don't like the music, it's nothing. There's nothing there for you.
I do like the music. I mostly just played it to test out using Apple Arcade on this new computer. And then I realized I'd never done the linking up a controller with the laptop or the iPad or anything. So I was like, oh, I'll do that. And I remember when you guys talked about it saying, you definitely play it with a controller. Don't swipe on the screen or whatever. Mm. I really only gave it, I don't know, 15 minutes or whatever, and then I had to get back to what I was doing. But the music's great.
I think you'll enjoy it. I think you'd, crack a couple of tins and listen to the album, quote unquote, listen to the album. I think you'll enjoy the whole experience. Mm.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I might do drugs and just put it on.
I'm going to do some drugs. I might do drugs.
The world's ending. The world's ending. Now's the time to just publicly admit on a podcast that I take drugs.
It sounds like one of those things like they might have said in the 60s, like some kind of a little bit too old, kind of dirty haired guy before he put a tab of acid in his mouth would have gone like, sayonara, Wild Hearts. Put it in his fucking mouth and then talked it close to a 14-year-old
and sayonara, Wild Hearts.
Yeah.
Fuck, you've just reminded me of something. I wish I could remember exactly what it was, but a friend of mine did something along those lines a little while ago.
Oh, no.
And it made me laugh a lot. We were at a music festival and they had like a cap or like a you know, some ecstasy. And it was something along the lines of like they put it in their mouth and as they were doing it, they went, arrivederci.
I hate that shit.
It's so lame. It's so fucking lame. But just the specific choice of the phrase that they used was sort of got it over the line for me and made me really enjoy it.
No, all right.
All right. We better wrap it up for another week here on Filthy Casuals. Thank you very much for joining us. You can head to filthycasuals.com.au and find the links to all the various different things that we do, links to our social media pages. The show is on Patreon if you would like to support us that way. If you enjoy getting this show for free and you would like to chip in a little money, we would very much appreciate that. We send out a bonus episode once a week where currently we are going through the 1990s year by year, doing a bit of a decade in review, which we did at the start of the year for the 2010s and was very popular. So rather than that show just evolve into a depressing catalogue of what we're filling our days and nights with in isolation, we thought we'd go back to do a bit of nostalgia, a bit of revisit the movies and music charts and everything.
And if you do ever want like podcast advice or anything like that from us, we're kidding around in this. We're helpful people in real life.
Yeah, I actually would be happy to give genuine podcasting advice.
I
also thought it was worth noting that first episode of the 1990 series is 90 minutes long. So if you need stuff to listen to, I know a lot of people are like not, you know, having their daily commute, so they're listening to less stuff. But I think we've found the opposite. A lot of people have been jumping on the Patreon, which has been great. And yeah, we're putting out sort of longer episodes, at least for this series, because there is a fuckload to talk about. And they're really, really fun to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So check all that stuff out. We've got the Let's Plays up on our YouTube channel. We got heaps of stuff. Filthycasuals.com.au is the place to find that. Guys, thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next week. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
arrivederci.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.